Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, hour number two. Beamer in for Bellavia today, and we continue talking about the shootings over the weekend, and joining us again is the president of the Buffalo Police Benevolent Association, John Davidson. John, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate any opportunity I get to speak to the citizens of Buffalo.
Now, John, as we continue to hear the reaction from the commissioner and the reaction, the response from the commissioner and response from the mayor, I do want to just set the scene again to what happened Saturday night and what Buffalo police were faced with on Saturday with these shootings.
Certainly. It was a very chaotic scene. There were situations where there were mass parties where police could barely get down the street. Large fire trucks had no chance of getting up and down the street. Ambulances were impeded and couldn't get to gunshot victims that needed treatment. It was a very hectic scene. The police officers were getting things hurled at them, including fireworks and pepper spray. One officer was urinated on. It was a really wild scene. And I think that our members, the Buffalo PBA members that work for the Buffalo Police Department, they were heroic in their actions. They did a wonderful job. I don't think there's any doubt from anyone that's reasonable that the Buffalo Police employs the greatest police officers in the state of New York.
Absolutely. Now, we heard from you Monday morning. 3 o'clock on Monday, we heard from the commissioner. What did you think of her response to what happened over the weekend?
Certainly. So I unfortunately couldn't make it to that press conference. Our first vice president, Michael Maritato, was there, and he kind of briefed me afterwards, and I haven't had a chance to watch it since. You know, I think there is some good and some things to work on with everything in life. I think there's always some good and some things to work on. The press conference, I think, could have been a little earlier regarding the things that happened, but you're striking the right note when you talk about taking care of the officer who had his house not just vandalized, window shattered, family terrified. They say they're going to do everything they can to take care of that officer and help him continue with a wonderful career that he's already started.
The mayor and the commissioner both pointed to the fact that they knew this event. They knew the promoter had a history of what happened last year. Do you believe a better plan could have been put in place by the commissioner to make sure this never got to the point it got to?
Well, I mean, hindsight, right? You could always do better. I'll say this. 12 shootings in one night is indicative of a problem. And the problem is that we don't have enough officers in the city of Buffalo. So the officers that we do have are overworked, stretched too far, missing too much of life events, spending too much time at work. And we're not recruiting officers, and the officers we have are getting burnt out. I think, people that don't like the police want to just say, oh, well, there's enough police there because they're covering their shifts. But the reality is, they're covering their shifts because they're being forced to be there. This isn't where they're being volunteered. They're being voluntold. You have to work. And that creates a level of burnout. And, I mean, it's just to ignore the fact that there's that many shootings, and shootings are on the rise as a whole this summer already. If there were 26 fires tonight in Buffalo, people would say, we need more firemen and more fire trucks. If the garbage didn't get collected from 22 streets, they'd say, we got to get a few more garbage trucks and garbage men. But when there's shootings, the people that don't like the police don't say anything, and the people that are afraid but do like the police hang back. And then all of a sudden we're in a situation where we need the public to step up. And most of Western New York, most of Buffalo supports law enforcement. We need these people to not leave that belief at their doorstep and let their friends and family and politicians know, like, hey, this is not what I want to live in. This is not the neighborhood I grew up in, and this is not the neighborhood I want to raise my family in.
John, the commissioner said this on Monday. I've been super critical of this, just the way I thought it sounded. But I'd like to know, obviously, you're the professional. I'd like to know your response to this. I'm going to play this clip for you.
We don't want to create a police state. It is a balancing act. And I'm also acutely aware the more police we throw to a problem, the greater likelihood we have an officer-involved shooting, which we want to avoid at all costs.
Is she right?
I mean, I think there's maybe an element to what she's saying that she believes. I would disagree with that statement. I would say that there's a safety in numbers, right? So when you have three officers and a crowd of hundreds trying to overwhelm those officers, I would say that poses a much higher likelihood of a use of force from an officer. Whereas you have, if you can match that chaos and that lawlessness with the appropriate amount of force and the appropriate amount of manpower, then I think that's when you actually have control over the situation and there's less likelihood of an overuse of force.
John, the commissioner and the mayor, they say they have the backs of the Buffalo police officers. Do you believe that the Buffalo police have the full support of their commissioner and mayor?
The commissioner does say that she supports the Buffalo police. At this point, I do have no reason to not believe that. This mayor, I have not seen him say that he supports Buffalo police. His track record seems to lean the opposite way of that, and we do not feel that we have the support of the mayor of Buffalo.
Does that go into, obviously, the contract? The union's been working without a contract for over a year. We heard there was discussions. Where do we stand on that?
Yeah, at this point, we kind of believe it to be the old, the old adage for a long time. There was a lot of gusto and gumption behind defunding the police from certain politicians, our mayor included at one time. And now we believe that some of these politicians have reverted to a deconstructed defunding of the police. So rather than just out and out, show your cards and say, we're not going to fund the police, we're going to get rid of them, this is a defunding by attrition. So if you don't hire police and you let the ones you have retire and then you kind of push them towards the door, that's a way of getting rid of the police.
John, back to the shootings over the weekend. It's Wednesday now, and not one arrest has been made. What do you attribute that to?
Well, like I said, I mean, we have a mayor that's done 350-plus videos on social media since taking over as the mayor of Buffalo. Not a single one that we've seen has been pro-police. We're looking for some support, and to make arrests in a city, you need the support of from the top down. You need the support of the mayor. You need the support of the person running the entire department all the way down through each level of supervision for an officer to make an arrest. An officer cannot make an arrest in a vacuum. When you take somebody down on an arrest, there's a lieutenant at booking. You have to have buy-in from the top down that you want public safety. And have buy-in from the top down that you believe in public safety, you need to be willing to sit down with the Buffalo PBA, who represents all of the members of the Buffalo Police Department, and sit down and respectfully work together and negotiate a contract that is dynamic and exciting and draws in recruits and retains the officers that we have.
Do you think that no arrests, in the shootings on Saturday, you had the fights downtown, you had police that were harassed. As you said, a police officer's house was vandalized. His family obviously don't feel safe. Do you feel that no arrest sends the message, hey, it's okay to do it again?
Well, I know that some arrests take time, but some arrests are in the moment make the arrest. I'm not sure what the delay is on some of these arrests. Some of them, I want to give our detectives the breath they need to fully investigate a situation. But I will say that, yes, as time drags on and arrests aren't made, you lose the support of the public because they're wondering why their neighborhoods are going to hell. And you lose the support of the police, who are wondering, do I have a real job or am I just collecting a paycheck because I work for an administration that doesn't want me to do my job? And by administration, I do not mean the Buffalo Police Department. I think if you were to ask the leadership of our department, they would love to have 100 officers added to the department tomorrow.
Well, that was my next question. I mean, how short-staffed are the Buffalo Police? Because the commissioner says this is not a staffing problem, but I'm hearing a different tone from you.
I just don't know how that could be an honest statement. The Buffalo Police Department is down 102 officers by his own estimation. He is the one that put forth 814 officers in the budget that was passed recently at a 19% tax increase. That budget included 814 sworn personnel. We are currently at 712 sworn personnel, with only 4 in the academy pipeline currently in field training, with no plans of making another hire this year, because the only opportunity would be through the Erie County Academy for Law Force. That begins in a couple of weeks here in July, and we are slated to add 0. It's roughly a 6-month course, which gets us to the end of the year. I do not see a reasonable avenue, unless there's some secretive plan that no one's telling the police about, to add officers in this year.
John, we had several callers over the last few days who live in the city of Buffalo, and they say, you know, not, you know, we talk about people feeling safe going into the city, but we had callers in the city saying they don't feel safe being by their windows, going, walking down the street, going to church, driving in their car. What would you say to those individuals? And is that an issue for our police officers? Do our police officers not feel safe in the city?
So I would say that my heart goes out to these citizens. My email box is inundated with emails from people that are saying, I've reached out to the department, I've reached out to the mayor, I've reached out to my council person. In some of these emails, they talk about the interventions that some of the council members did try. But ultimately, if at the top you don't support police, these citizens are fed up. They're looking to move. They're looking for alternate options on maybe living part-time in two different municipalities. Not to mention, just this week alone, I invited someone to dinner in the city, and they said, yeah, right, not going into the city. So instead, we had to go to the South Towns to get a bite to eat. This is realistically affecting not just the citizens of the city, but it's affecting the business owners. It's affecting tourism. We've got people that are telling us, I don't know if I want to travel to Buffalo for youth hockey tournaments, which is a huge thing in Buffalo, hockey heaven, right? And now all of a sudden we got people that are saying, you know what, we're going to skip that date on the travel schedule.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
John, obviously I talk a lot about raise the age, bail reform. What does that do to play into this? You know, when you have children or teens under the age of 18 who know whatever they do will get taken off their record. We have a guy that, you know, a convicted murderer has possession of a weapon and has gone on an appearance ticket. Doesn't, you know, it's not eligible for bail. What has that done to the city of Buffalo, to New York State when it comes to crime and law and all that?
Well, it demoralizes police officers when you make an arrest and you make a good arrest, and before you're done with your paperwork, they're on the street. It compounds it even further so if that person makes a complaint on you in internal affairs and they find a ticky-tack reason, such as you had to jump out of your car and run as fast as you could to tackle a guy, so now your body camera wasn't on, although it was captured on, you know, dash camera. Well, now in your file forever, you have that you didn't have your dash camera, or I'm sorry, your body camera on. So now in your employee jacket, open to FOIL for anyone to see and every defense attorney and every judge to question, is that you didn't follow departmental policy. However, the same person that's making that complaint is out on bail for the third time.
Unreal. I see, you know, obviously we had an issue with teens stealing cars and all this crime, and it's like, well, they know it's not going to follow them when they turn 18. Where's the incentive to be a law-abiding citizen in the state of New York? It seems like sometimes the state of New York is more pro-criminal than pro-law-abiding citizen.
Well, I'll take it a step further. We have situations in the city of Buffalo where criminal gang members keep around 15 and 16-year-olds intentionally so to hold their guns.
Unreal.
Yeah, so if you're standing on a street corner and you're committing crimes, there's a chance that within grabbing distance, walking distance, holler distance, is a 15 or 16-year-old whose sole purpose is to hold on to the firearm for that adult.
Wow. John, you mentioned the hiring process. So no more hires on the horizon this year. What about retirements? I mean, what's the process for that? Could someone decide to retire tomorrow? How does that work?
Certainly. So every time I'm on the news, people probably think I'm making up numbers because they're changing. But the reality is that's how fast people are retiring. We're now at 15 retirees for this year. And again, we've only hired 4 that are currently training. And we have no reasonable path to getting into the department otherwise for the rest of this year. So to put that in perspective, we're already at 15. Last year we had 47 retire, but the 4 years prior to that, it was 18, 22, 22, 18. So we're losing officers at historic rates. And the reality is we're not replacing them at anywhere near the capacity to maintain a properly functioning department.
And weekends like this with responses like we had from especially the mayor, I can't imagine is good for trying to get those recruits in.
Certainly, and I'm sure that other members in my department will call me and say, hey, what are you talking about? Lieutenant's the most important position in our department. But the reality is it's our first supervisory level, so we don't have sergeants in the Buffalo Police Department. So a police officer answers to a lieutenant, which would be akin to a captain in most other departments. And our lieutenants are kind of overburdened with the amount of tasks they have to do. And on top of that, we are currently four below the contractual minimum set by the city. That's their own decision. Through contract negotiations years and years ago, they decided that 90 was the least amount of lieutenants you could have in the city of Buffalo and be safe. We're currently at 86.
Wow. Wow. Now, John, when you talk about staffing issues, I mean, does the Erie County Sheriff's Department ever get involved with the police to fill those gaps, or is that a possibility?
Well, that's where you get into certain issues, right? Do the sheriffs, you'd have to ask them a lot of questions, but from dealing with other unions and the sheriff's union, and Simon is wonderful. He's a great representation of their union. I don't know. You sign up to be an Erie County sheriff and do the job of an Erie County sheriff. Do you necessarily want to take on all the burdens of a Buffalo police officer? And then, you know, if you get into some jam, you're left high and dry, because if a sheriff gets in a jam in the city of Buffalo, they're not under my purview. They don't have PBA representation from the Buffalo PBA. They have their own union. You'd have to talk to them and their bylaws and how they work. I know Sheriff Garcia is always about law and order, and he would help where he can. But the reality is the city of Buffalo needs to be responsible for the safety of the city of Buffalo.
John, I've heard from three people that I trust, but obviously, you know, this is secondary, that the commissioner was not in town over the weekend, and that's commonplace for this commissioner. Do you have any knowledge of that?
I have no knowledge of that. I am in an office and headquarters, and I hear rumors all day that are both positive and negative. I can say that this commissioner was hired from out of state. I have no idea what her living situation is. I have no idea what her travel situation is. I don't know what life she left behind that she's trying to bring here or try and do both. I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate on where she's living or what she's doing.
But would you expect, with the knowledge that she had about what this event could have done over the weekend, it being a holiday weekend, that she should have been in town?
I don't know if she is or was or is not or was not in town. What I can say is, in general, when you have these kinds of mass casualty events or officers that are being targeted, I would expect a press conference a little sooner, whether that's from the city and the mayor or the department. That is up for determination in this hierarchy of politics that I am not a part of.
John, I've been making comments on the proposed curfew, but this is more in your wheelhouse. How would that be enforced, and do you think that is a good measure to take from the city?
Well, I think you're going to need to show officers the penal law that allows them to make that action. I don't know. Is it a justified use of force to grab a 14-year-old because he won't go home? I just would need to see before our members would be advised by the PBA to make those decisions. And now, make no mistake, if the department gives a lawful order, an officer does need to follow it. So if they can show it's a lawful order, then by all means, let's do a curfew. But I would hesitate to endorse a curfew without seeing some kind of penal law or criminal procedural law that supports that. And if it's just a generic blanket statement of, hey, there's a curfew with no actual hard plan of what to do when criminals say no, well, then I don't know if I'd endorse that, because kind of like this promoter, people are kind of baffled all of a sudden that criminals don't follow the rules. And it's hard for officers to enforce rules that don't have any teeth to them.
John, how is the officer and his family doing after their house was vandalized?
I mean, physically, they're doing great. Mentally, they're absolutely tore up. We got a guy that's kind of looking at, is he going to keep his home or keep his family? Because there's a residency requirement in the city of Buffalo. And I, understandably, his family cannot stay in that home. So I don't know what the city's going to do for him. I don't know what the department can do for him. He's in a real, real tough spot. So we're praying for him. We're praying for his family. But this is a family-altering event. So we hope that this family can weather this storm and come out of it stronger. And we hope that the city, the department, the mayor support him in that in any way that he needs.
For sure. Obviously praying for him and his family and praying for all you guys. And John, God bless you. God bless each and every officer of the Buffalo Police Department for putting their life on the line, for being out there, for protecting this great city. God bless them. God bless you. And John, anytime you need to come back here, please just let me know. We'd love to talk with you.
Thank you so much. I just want to say, make no mistake that the members of the Buffalo PBA absolutely love the city of Buffalo, love the citizens of Buffalo, love the visitors to the city of Buffalo. When people call 911, the Buffalo Police and the members of the Buffalo PBA never ask any questions about your religious affiliation, where you grew up, what your father does for a living. We show up whether or not you support the police. When you call 911, you're going to get the best service that we can provide. At the moment, that service may be lacking a little in the fact that we don't have enough officers, and the officers we have are overburdened.
John, thank you so much. John Davidson, he is the president of the Buffalo Police Benevolent Association, answering many questions that we have come up with. And you heard him address the Erica Shields comment that I have played probably a million times since she said it on Monday. 803-0930, star 930. And yes, we are praying and thinking and praying of that officer and his family whose house was vandalized. I mean, you're going there to protect the city of Buffalo and to be followed home and to have your house vandalized like that and windows broken. I mean, how can you feel safe in your own home? And obviously, I could not imagine what he and his family are going through. And we are thinking and praying for him and his family and each and every member of the Buffalo Police Department. We'll be back after this on WBEN.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.